Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is the Katherine Hine show, and she will be with us as soon as she can get her computer to get her onto the air. So it's a great show that she's got tonight. Lulu, you want to talk about that?
Right. We're live with Katherine Hine. Who judges the judges? Katherine Hine Roundtable Discussion. Jury trial rights, and so she wanted to join us live, and she's with Who Judges the Judges with Katherine Hine, and it's a roundtable discussion about how judges are keeping citizens' participation out of courts for jury trials, especially how they're cheating citizens out of their jury trial rights. So she has a guest that was going to be coming on. Her name, I guess hers or his name is Jerry Olson, and then, of course, you got Rob and Lulu with Face Us. So let me see if she's on. I'm not sure exactly what number she's on. Wait a minute, let's not do that yet. Okay, so we're going to be talking about jury trials, and I'm trying to see if she'll be coming on. Let's see. Not yet. All right, so what do we want to talk about in the meanwhile?
Well, I haven't done the research on this, but I know that the reality is that it's very rare to see a jury trial these days. I don't think they even have such things in probate courts, although they certainly should. I think that might be a way to kind of straighten out the mess in the probate court. But I think the reality is that we have a system that's working very hard to keep people from exercising their rights to a jury trial. And that creates a difficulty that's very difficult for, it's very challenging for the average person to be able to come anywhere near having justice, because you can't get in front of a jury of your peers. You can only get in front of a judge, and oftentimes, as you and I both know, judges aren't always, let's say, objective. They have a tendency to not be objective, to not be fair, to not do right by the people in their courtroom under certain circumstances, and that's something that we see fairly often, is that the judge is not exercising wise judgment, the judge is not exercising care and respect for the law, and because there is no care and respect for the law, and there is very little really good judgment in many of these courtrooms, you see the difficulty in getting anything like justice when you find yourself in these situations. There's no recourse for someone who finds themselves under the situation where there's a judge that is not great and not doing what's right by justice, because that's the final arbiter oftentimes, and there's nothing beyond that. If you have a bad judge, then you have a bad judge, and you're not going to be able to do much with getting free of that situation. You're going to face the consequences of winding up in that courtroom in front of that judge, and that usually is going to be to your detriment, and it might mean jail time. It might mean that you're spending money that you don't have on attorneys that or money that you do have. But in any case, there's very little, justice coming out of the justice system. And so for that reason, it's not a right. It's not a right situation for it to be as difficult as it is for people to find a jury trial.
Right. Now, if we had a jury trial in our case, I do believe that it would have went differently, because the judge that we had, I think, was in cahoots with the public administrator, and we've got like 15 to 20 families saying the same thing, that they believe that if the judge was not involved with the public administrator and all the other attorneys that were involved, they all would have had a better outcome also. So I do believe that if we had jury trials, I do believe that the people could really see what was going on in families and they would understand the situations. And I know that, you know, we could have told them what was going on in our case and they would have all known it was my brother and my other sister that was causing the problems. So the problem is that from what I was talking to with Catherine Hine earlier, she was talking about how judges, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, they had juries. They had all that in different kinds of courts, but not all the time you have them, and I know they definitely don't have it in probate, so I'm hoping that one state one day will get it to where you have to go through a jury trial for probate, you know, and I might even ask some legislators out in Colorado what they think of that. I'm not sure the rules of having it, you know, into a probate court, but I think in family courts and all that, they definitely need, you know, everybody needs to be in front of a jury, in front of their own peers. I know nowadays that judges are just way too into themselves, and I've only seen one good judge out of many, you know. So, you know, I'm not saying there's not good judges out there, but from all the complaints that we've had, they're very little. And from what I heard, they could be on the take with the court officials. And we are hearing more of that each day. And I know one time I was with the Colorado Bar one time against this one attorney in 2010 when I had a trash bill. And we bounced a check and it ended up costing us $300. But they went ahead to the court and it was like a credit court in there where you would walk in and you wouldn't talk to the judge or nothing and they would go ahead and clock you anyway for hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So our family was the first ones in Colorado to actually put in a law saying that people had to go in front of a judge to get I can't remember what the name of the case was, but a long time ago, but it wasn't as crooked as it is now. It's not as bad as it was now at all. So the problem that I see is that we need to have a jury in front of our peers instead of a judge deciding our fate. And all the complaints we've had lately is definitely what the judges are not running their courtrooms the way they should. I also believe that they should have cameras in the courtrooms. Every single courtroom should have a camera. You know, that way...
I think if every legal proceeding were recorded, then... if a person did feel, hey, I was not treated fairly, then they've got evidence. They've got the hard evidence that says this is exactly what happened. And then they can say I wasn't treated fairly, and anyone can look and say either, well, no, it seems fair to me, or no, yeah, you're right, it wasn't fair, or it's hard to tell. You know, I mean, that's pretty much the whole of it when you have a situation where you're trying to judge fairness. Either you'll be able to look at it and go, oh yeah, that wasn't fair, or oh, I don't know, seems fair to me, or I don't know what fair would be in that situation. I'm not sure how to balance that out. And of course, that's what judges are there to determine. But unfortunately, far too often the judge determines that it is fair to make sure that every attorney gets paid good money and every plaintiff gets robbed thoroughly and is left with nothing, at least in the experience of the people that we come across in Families Against Court Embezzlement Unethical Standards, because obviously we, the ones that talk to us, the ones that contact us, are the ones where there has been unethical standards that have been applied, and the people contact us because they feel like there's been court embezzlement, there's been cheating, lying, stealing. That has put them in the situation where now they have less than they ought, less than they by rights ought to have, because they didn't get a jury trial. They had a judge, and it seemed to them that the judge was applying an unethical standard. Now, whether that means colluding with people in the courtroom to do some things that were unethical, or simply turning a blind eye when there were unethical things going on, and therefore allowing embezzlement to take place, we're not in a position to say until we look at an individual case, nor is anyone else. But if we had film of what's going on in these courtrooms, then the judge would have recourse. If someone said, no, this judge is no good, judge could say, go ahead, check the film. You'll see I didn't do anything wrong. Unless, of course, he did, in which case the people would be able to hold that judge accountable. The public would be able to, I don't know, there'd have to be some kind of guidelines or rules, but public would be able to find the data on those cases and see for themselves. And I think that would go a long way to straightening out our courts. Now, is it something I think is very likely? Not very, because I think that the legal profession is going to battle hard against anyone doing anything that would upset their cash cow. And that cash cow, of course, is being able to cheat and lie and steal instead of actually having to work and be honest and do honorable, good work for the money that they receive. So,
in that thought, we are waiting for Catherine Hine to come on. I am not sure. She's having some technical difficulties on her end. So we're waiting for her to come on. So if anybody wants to call in to our show right now and
raise your hand.
And
the way you do that is dial 845-241-9962. That's 845-241-9962. And push 1, and that will let us know that you want to participate in the conversation. And of course, hopefully, we're going to be having a discussion that involves Catherine Hine, because this is her show. She's doing jury trial rights, the rights of a person to a jury trial.
I'm wondering if any of our listeners out there have had any jury trials at all that were successful. That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah.
You know, because if so, everybody should start talking about more people to have jury trials, and maybe one day this could happen. I mean, I don't know. I think it was. I don't think one judge should be able to decide one's fate. I think there should be jury trial, like they always had, five or ten jurors on there, and they decide people's fate. And I know judges
don't do
that.
12, I think, is 12.
12.
What they use, yeah.
Well, even then, I would rather have 12 people thinking about what happened in my family than just one.
Oh, yeah. Especially one that, that for all, as far as you can tell, he was biased. This judge was biased in your case. And the reason that I say it is because there would be no good reason for him to do a lot of the things that he did. In other words, put these court actors involved, get these court actors involved of the attorneys that were there in court, they never should have been involved in your life or your mother's life at all. Your mother and father had plans laid out. Those plans were being followed. It was profitable for the family. It was profitable for your mother. She was getting richer every month under the care, and she was very well taken care of. No one could ever say that the girls in your family weren't doing a great job of looking after their mother. And she was getting richer every month, and there was no reason for any court intervention whatsoever. But the judge decided that there was reason, probable enough reason, to cause an action where he took it away from all family members and put it in the hands of
a crooked public administrator
that wound up paying out legal fees of about 87% of the estate, and there was no reason for any of those fees. There was no reason for any of that. Everything that was brought into court on the opposing side was absolute lies, absolute fabrication. And you had evidence that showed that this was stuff that your brother cooked up, that he said he was gonna cook up in emails to you, which you brought to court. Showed the judge, this is what's going on. My brother said if we didn't give him all this stuff, then he was going to start all this trouble with all these legal actions, and that's all that's going on. It's just him doing what he said he would do. There's no truth to any of what he's saying, that we have evidence to the contrary, so there's nothing here And the judge simply ignored that and said, oh,
everybody
well,
ignored
to...
that. Every
oh, yeah.
single court official
oh,
ignored
yeah.
everything to do with the family. The only thing they wanted was their paycheck.
Right.
And I have so much proof of that. I mean, I have a really good case.
Yeah.
You know, and we've got like 20, 30 cases in Colorado.
I look forward to the
Colorado.
Day it gets tried, because I think that'll be a day that we'll be able to see a at least one person go to prison for the crimes that they committed.
Right.
And hopefully more than that. There were several that were involved in colluding to defraud, and that is what it is. It was colluding to defraud because they knew that your mother was having difficulty, that she had an ischemic incident. All they had to do was look at the medical records. They were right there. They knew that that there was evidence showing that your brother was making up a bunch of poppycock and balderdash. And that there was no truth to that. There was plenty of evidence of that. And so each of them made the conscious decision, even knowing in the face of all that, to go ahead and take advantage of, defraud, pursue this legal action that they knew was frivolous, that they knew had no merit. And as a result, it went on, and the... all these lawyers kept getting involved. The judge appointed a guardian ad litem for your mom, and then the judge appointed a guardian with limited powers to help your mom work out her finances. But then the judge also took away any ability for her to be involved in her finances, because he gave all of the finances to a public administrator and appointed the public administrator. So there were at least those three. Oh, did I mention that the judge appointed a lawyer for your mother? So she had four people right there getting a paycheck out of her pocket, out of her, because they were supposedly looking out for her interests. This is just—it was a lot of bogus stuff. There was nothing worthy in any of it, because she was in good shape, because it was clear that she was in good shape, because she was under the care of her daughters, and they were taking good care of her. I mean, I am a personal eyewitness to that. I happened to be not involved, but right there, because I was right next to Lulu, and she was one of the three sisters that was looking after the mom, and they had all of the paperwork in order. They had everything, all the ducks in row. They had everything lined up so that there was money coming in every month to this to an account, from not only from the cash that had been left her by her husband when he died. There was a substantial amount that was basically cash assets or pure liquid assets, and those she had drawing interest. So at every 3 months, she got a check for, I think it was about $10,000, on that was interest that she was drawing on the money that she had put away. And in addition to that, she had rent money coming in from two separate properties. And I'm not sure if that, I don't think that even, either that, I'm not sure if that includes or does not include the money that she was getting because one of her sons was living with her and paying rent. But she was getting money from one of her kids who was living with her that was paying rent. And there was another house that was rented that she was getting money from. So she was actually doing very well, and she was not spending each month as much as she had coming in and what she was making. So it was actually a very good situation for your mom, and she was able to thrive and be not only in good health but with growing wealth, and this is the situation that the court overlooked and pretended didn't exist when they made the determination not to give you girls control over that
estate.
Yeah,
right. And so what happened basically in the long run is, if we had a jury and we had a peer looking out for us, I guarantee you that our estate would have not been taken away.
No.
And this is everything my parents work for. This is everything we live for.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and it wasn't just your parents working for it, because your whole family
their whole family worked
was involved
hard.
In building the value of what they had.
Well,
we
had five properties completely paid for and 120 antique cars on the property and about 25 sheds full of stuff. We had a Denver house now worth about $1 million. And
yeah,
we
probably
had
where it was
probably
then.
Yeah, and they sold everything for like $80,000, $60,000, $50,000. You know, I'm pretty pissed over the whole thing. You know, I still am, and that's why, you know, Faces with Robin Lulu. We have a Blog Talk Radio show, and we try to reach out to a lot of people and try to stop this madness going on in our state. With, you know, not only that, but it's not only the probate courts, but it's the family courts, it's the juvenile courts, it's all the courts. They're not protecting the citizens. They're robbing families. They're taking kids. They're taking parents. They're locking them up. It just does not stop, you know.
And it's even more than that, because we also see that we have the police departments oftentimes with inefficiencies and breakdowns and. That cause things like police officers that get too amped up and wind up killing somebody when they could have done much less in terms of subduing someone. They get overzealous and wind up committing a murder, and yet they never are charged in that murder. It always, it seems. It's very rare when anything but a not guilty verdict is turned out against a police officer, because as we know, they're the instrument of the court, and they're the judges. I don't know. I wonder if maybe the judges don't want to upset the police department or just what it could be, because it's very strange to me that people can commit these kind of crimes. Where it's obviously a crime of aggression, where somebody is over the top in their approach to their work. Their work involves the potential for violence, and they wind up acting in a violent way that kills somebody. And yet the consequences for that are often nothing at all. Oftentimes it's, you know, oh, well, you get 2 weeks off with pay, or you get 2 months off with pay, depending on how long it takes to bring that up for trial, and then in the trial, it's, you know, it's very often a whitewash, and they will find that there was no wrongdoing, even when there's filmed evidence that a police officer shot someone who was running away or walking away or had their back turned or even on their knees. It's terrible what happens out there. Now, I don't want to impugn all of the good police officers that are doing a good job, or all of the good judges that are doing a good job, or any of the court officials that are doing good work for the money that they get. That is not who we're talking about. That is not who we are against. That's not who we oppose. If you are involved in working in the courts, and you are dedicated to a higher principle of honoring the justice and honoring the right and doing what is right for the people that you represent, doing what is right that does uplift and assist the legal profession to be more honest and more truthful and more righteous. I mean, I know some attorneys that I have a very great deal of respect for, because they're very good people who would never consider cheating someone out of what they rightfully own, and would definitely, you know, make sure that they're giving good value for whatever it is that they do for their clients. And I don't want to impugn those people. I want to applaud them. And say thank you and good luck, and we hope you do well, because without those, what we have is truly just a den of thieves. And
yeah, but even our good attorneys, are being beat up by these unethical attorneys.
Oh, it's true, yeah.
You know, we have a lot of those issues where we've had, we were on the road that one time when we had this good attorney sitting there saying she had to shut down her practice.
Right.
Because the judges and the attorneys are not.
Because she was unwilling
right.
to do the kind of things that cheated her clients. She knew that in that courtroom, they were expected to not serve their clients' interests so well and to prolong cases and to stretch them out and to milk them. And she was unwilling to do it. And so she quickly discovered that if she was unwilling to cheat her clients, then the judge was unwilling to find in her favor.
Right.
And she made that clear. This was her reporting to the Judicial Performance Commission when they were touring around the state. This was one of
and that's
there
in
were
Colorado,
several actually.
And that was in Colorado.
There were several
right.
actually that came forward during the time when the Judicial Performance Commission in Colorado was touring the state and holding meetings in the various townships and counties. There were actually more than one. There were several that came forward at various points to say either I'm quitting the legal profession or the legal profession is exceedingly tough. If you're honest, if you try to do right, that they will undermine you. I can't function in the courtroom because the judge is biased against me because I'm trying to do right by my clients, and they want them to be robbed. They just, you know, that's not the words that they said, but basically it is what they were saying, that it's in trying to do an honest job for somebody, they were booted out. They were absolutely blackballed, and they found that judge would then put all of their cases at the very end of the day so that they'd have to sit around all day long waiting before they could have their case and then rule against them capriciously without based on evidence and based on the situation, but rule against them seemingly because it's them. That's the one that the judge just doesn't like, and so they rule against them. And this person realized that they could no longer be a good attorney because they couldn't go to their clients in good conscience and say, yes, I'll represent you and expect to be able to do the job, because they knew the judge would rule against them just because that's their attorney. And so they were leaving the legal profession, having been driven out of it by bad judges. And this is just some of the reasons why we need the right to jury trial.
Right.
Were you able to raise Catherine? Have you spoken?
Catherine Hine is having difficulty calling in. She has a magic jack phone, and it's not letting her call in.
Oh my.
So I don't think Catherine Hine will be able to get on the on her show. Well, you know. But you can reach us. We're Face Us with Robin Lulu, and we're on every Wednesday night at 7 to 9 p.m. Colorado time.
And
so
the occasional
time zone.
Thursday night.
An occasional Thursday night every now and then. And Catherine's going
to
try to fix her technical issues that she has. She's going to try fixing those in the next few days, and we'll let you know when she comes back on. But like I say, you can reach us Wednesday nights. I mean, we come on every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and that's Mountain Standard Time. That's like in the middle of the state, you know, in the United States.
Right, right.
So, and then...
So if you're East Coast,
you're 2 hours ahead of us.
You're in our future. You're earlier than we are. If you're West Coast, you're later than we are. So you just factor that in, and you can listen to us whenever we're on in your neighborhood. And so on the East Coast, it's going to be, 4 or 5, I guess, depending on where you are on the East Coast.
On the East Coast, I think it's 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock?
It's an hour before us, right.
1 hour, just
right.
1 hour.
Right, and then the Eastern is 2 hours ahead of us. So
No,
you
mean the West Coast. Is an hour behind us.
Right, right.
But the East Coast is 2 hours before us.
After us.
No, East Coast.
Yes, 2 hours after us. So if we come on at 7 o'clock here, they come on at 9 p.m. there.
Oh right, because they're actually ahead of us.
They're ahead
time.
Of us, right? So that's
when
the,
it is 7 here, it is 9 there.
Right, exactly. So I guess I will go ahead and maybe sign off for tonight. Do you want to go ahead and do that? It's a football night anyway. And everybody's going to be watching their first Broncos. their first football game, I think, tonight is the Broncos.
The Broncos versus the Bears.
The Bears, right. And that's my mom's. She was born there in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so this one's for you, Mom. You know, she's still alive, and we got her out of guardianship, and we're her legal guardians now. So, and our love goes out to all the wards, and goes out to all the children that have been taken into family courts, and all the spouses that cannot be with, you know, their husbands
their
and their loved ones, and all elderly who cannot have their children, and gosh, help us
and
all.
And every one
you
of
know.
You that cannot have the jury trial that you by rights ought to have, and therefore being deprived of justice. Our hearts are with you, and our determination is that
that's
we're
who
going
this
to
is.
See an end to that.
Let's see who this 573 number is. Hey,
like
573, you're on the air.
This is Helen Taylor.
Hi, Helen.
I've been listening. How are you all doing tonight?
Good.
I've been listening to you all talk about the guardians and all this stuff tonight.
Yeah.
Right.
And the fraud and the abuse and jury trials. My husband asked the judge for a jury trial, and he told him that he'd already asked for one, but yet they couldn't prove that he had even asked for one in their court records because it wasn't there. That it was a lie. They just said he didn't ask for one. So, anyway, I was hoping to listen to Catherine Hines tonight.
Yeah, me
but
too.
I've got some other people listening to the program from Florida and around the United States that I've been in touch with this last 3 years that are trying to help, and they're fighting mostly kids and guardian abuse, but fraud is fraud. It's all the same. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's absolute fraud, and that's so disgusting to me to even know that we've been talking about these in the first place, that a lot of people rely on our justice system, you know. That's the US system. It's not even a justice system anymore. And I'm hoping it doesn't.
Well, Charlie's getting more vocal, so within the next couple of weeks, maybe he can be on the air if we can get his voice back.
Yeah, I know. And he's been held into a guardianship for like 4 years, hasn't he? And you had a fight to get him out.
Yeah. Yep, that was quite a fight, but it's over, hopefully. The guardian was supposed to, she's supposed to show where all his money has went the last years that she's been in charge, but she hasn't been reporting like she's supposed to. And she told my friend that's now the owner of my husband. I call her the owner. She's now the owner of my husband because I'm a terrorist, as you all know. She told her the number one priority for Mary was to make sure that at the end of the year she had all of his financial records in charge or up to date and proof to the court where his money went, but yet she hasn't. And she was supposed to have turned over the guardianship to my friend. The judge has already signed the papers, and she was supposed to send it to my friend. A lot of people that know she's my friend, they think she's another guardian because it's none of their business, number one. But I guess I'm telling it now. But they talk bad about me to her, thinking that she's just another guardian. So I'm keeping track of all that. So, but I don't know. But Huffman, the guardian for the county, she has just overlooked all the laws. There are no laws for her because she's an elected official, it seems like. Anyway, she knows the laws, tell everybody else, but she can't abide by them, but everybody else is supposed to. So, anyway, are you guys checking off for the night then?
Yeah, we might be checking off for the night. We got a football game. I can't get Catherine on. But we wanted to cover for her. She is so good at what she does, and I'm hoping that she can continue with the show. She's going to be talking to Matt Jack and a few other to the Blog Talk Radio to see what the issues are and fix the technical issues. But every now and then that does happen. It's a party, I hear.
Yeah, I know the first one I was on, we like it never got on. It kept coming up. But anyway, I'm putting the word out, and there's going to be other people talking to you. They may be about kids, but I don't care. I just tell them all.
Fraud is fraud. It doesn't matter whether they have children, elderly, or whatever. Fraud is fraud, and it's happening to our children. It's happening to our elderly. It's happening to people that aren't even incapacitated. I mean, they're getting people making them incapacitated when they're not. I mean,
they'll make them incapacitated like she did, saying my husband, and the nurse that came and saw my husband today, she said, well, I can tell you're not incompetent because he was answering her questions. She said, I can tell you're not incompetent. And he goes, really? Well, the guardian just told the new judge that heard my husband's case on the 24th, she told him that my husband is better. He's not competent, but he's better. Even though we have a psychiatrist and a medical doctor that says he's competent, and a whole bunch of nurses, but she's non-qualified for anything, but she can make the call that he's incompetent. Not right at all.
Right, and Helen, you know the game, how it's played now. We're pretty much pros of what's really on nowadays. You know, we've heard of so much crap that these court officials supposedly, honorable court officials, are doing for them.
Another thing you were talking about was them selling off stuff and the cops being good. Well, they had me in jail. I heard the head jailer say, that property should have been in the paper this week. He was buying up the property for the judge. And I heard it all, so as soon as I got my paper and pen, I wrote it all down.
Oh, my God. That's so disgusting,
I'm sure it's true. And yours is not the only, and the reason I'm sure it's true is because you're not the only person that I've heard.
I've heard over 300.
Yes.
300 stories. I bet you I have read myself through FaceUp. You know, every single one of them have the same similarities. You know, they get you into court, they give you a gal, they give you a guardian, they give you a court-appointed attorney. They say that you're incapacitated. They say whatever they have to do to get your money. I'm glad Charlie's doing better. I really am.
What a racket they have going. And
yeah, the racket. We know about the racket.
And people that don't have, if it doesn't involve them, they don't care. They're not listening. They're just listening to about kids. They're not listening to the senior citizens that are out here being taken advantage of all the time. They're not worried about it. We're old, you know. We're expendable.
You're so right.
And they're worried about kids. They need to be worried about them both. So I'm trying to turn everybody on to it's happening to old and young alike.
Right. It is. It sure is. And we need to care about every person. Every person deserves our respect. Every person deserves our honor. Every person deserves our care. It shouldn't be that because someone is old, well, who cares what happens to them? That's not right at all. There's something really wrong with
that.
Very far away from any kind of stance towards those individuals, whoever they may be, in our particular little catalog for choosing to say, well, this is one care about those. We're not caring about where.
But I'm glad you got Charlie back, and we're hoping to get more people out of the guardianship. We might be trying to put in a new office. I even wonder if that'll even help you. I mean, I don't know.
You have to do what you can do, I think. And, you know, we hope it will help, and it may. It certainly gives us one more talking point to when if it doesn't work out, change behavior gives us one more talking point. Hey, look, there's even this on the statute books that you're ignoring. You know, I don't know. Are we doing any good? Please, God, let it be so that we do something.
Right. So I guess, Don, I guess we might sign off for the night. I guess we got some football going on. And all you wards out there, just hang in there. And all you family members, just hang in there.
We really do care. We really are fighting for you, and we will continue.
We're going to try getting Catherine Hine back on the air maybe next week or the week after. We'll see what technical difficulties she's having, and we'll go from there. We'll
try to get those resolved for you and for her.
Right.
So come back in next week, I guess.
We'll have a show next Wednesday. Well, actually, next Wednesday night, we're going to be having a show with Michael Volpe one more time. He's a journalist. And we're going to ask him, what is the conservative and the liberal journalist? I mean, what do you have to do to get, you know, their stories or a whole bunch of stories? What we have to do to bring light on the subject? And he's going to be talking about the summit one more time, the whistleblower summit that they had, exposing all the corruption down there on guardianship. And they said it was amazing results that they had down there. You know, had Marty Oakley, and there was Brian Kinter for the children, and then there was Danny Tate for the conservator, and then there was Michael Volpe talking about the journalist and about guardianship abuse. So I'm hoping that the word out about the corruption going on and all the people that have no idea what they're headed for if they do end up in court. No, so let's see who this one is. Okay. On the air, 786.
Hello.
786. 786 air.
Hello.
Hold on.
Are you there?
Let's close this one off. 786.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. It's Marcy.
Hi.
Hi, Marcy.
Hi, Marcy. There you are.
Hi, Marcy.
Hi. I worked late tonight.
We are actually covering a show. We're going to actually have a show with Catherine Hine tonight, and then she's having technical difficulties getting even onto the Blog Talk Radio. So talking about our cases, we just started, and then Helen Taylor called in, and we're still talking. But, so we were getting, we're about ready to sign off, and I guess it's a football night out there, you know, and
it's a football game tonight.
Yeah, it's the Denver Broncos and
the Chicago Bears.
Oh, okay.
So
that's where everybody is tonight, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's where everybody is tonight. And we're trying to get Catherine Hine on. I don't know what happened to her, but she's a real good advocate. She was an attorney for 30 years plus, and she's just amazing that she wanted to get onto the Blog Talk Radio tonight and to see what's going to happen there, but she's having technical issues.
Would be interesting. Who judges the judges?
Right. Who judges the judges? Right. And that's what Catherine Hine. Right. I like to know who is judging the judges. We were talking about juries earlier. Could you imagine having a jury trial instead of a judge? You know, I think if we had a jury trial, we would have had a better outcome for sure.
Because
at least would have listened to evidence. Our judge didn't even care about evidence.
It's a nightmare with these things, and anybody that I tell them, a mother and a daughter, a child, whether it's a man or a woman, you know, when there's more siblings, I don't know because I'm the only one, but the guardianship should go to one of the children,
right?
Not other people. That is messed up.
That's really messed up.
Is telling me today, they took away your rights to protect your mother. And now they're burying your mother alive. They're keeping your mother from her daughter.
Uh-huh.
How messed up is that? How messed up is that? They use the mental illness to distort families. And that is one sick human act. It's barbaric.
Right. It's barbaric.
It's barbaric.
Right.
Horrible.
You know, we're turning into one of those countries, you know, that is a communist country. We're not far from it, you know, and then now we have present issues going on. They're talking about nuclear bombings. You know, sometimes I wonder if this just isn't something like the sign of the times. You know, I ask that all the time. You know, they talk about it in the Bible. You think it could be happening? Maybe so. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, it's
more
it's
than I would have said 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Absolutely. You know, but the more I talk up, and more that people talk about corruption, absolutely.
They're bombarding.
Right.
What they've done to you and me and everybody else that I talk to, only when you go through it is when you feel how painful it is and how it doesn't leave you. These people are doing this to us while we're alive. And not just to us, you and me, it's emotional. And I mean,
right.
I'm breaking out. My body's breaking out from the stress. It's terrible. And to a mentally incapacitated woman who's, you know, our mothers, yours and mine, they already have to do with the aging, the illness. Let them feel the little bit they feel alive. I notice when I give my mother her hand massages or her body massages, she becomes alive. She feels, and the feeling perks her up. So for them to do anything like this to a mother and the daughter, it's killing you. It's shooting you with darts. In order for what? To take away their money, because that's a giving. Horrible.
Right. Oh, I know, it's horrible.
Yeah. A judge is supposed to protect. He's not supposed to get upset at the children of the war that are trying to protect her. He's not supposed to do that.
Right.
That's
you would think
up.
That. Oh. You would think you go to court for justice, but they don't have a justice system anymore. I haven't seen it. You know.
But do you think that all judges are like that? Because the last judge I had, he seemed more compassionate, and he kept putting his hands up like, oh, what a mess, you know.
Right.
Even though he had to stick to the order, I guess. At least he gave me the decision.
I've seen one or two judges that I thought were okay, and I saw one on Facebook that was amazing. I'm like, wow, why don't we have judges like this? I mean, he was an older man and an older judge, and he was really good with cases. I was like, wow, where did that guy come from? Where did that just come from? You know, I'd like to write him on Facebook or something. But they have these videos of him every now and then doing cases, and he's a really kind judge, and he really looks and he really sees the problem, and he's just really. We want more of that. You know, but we're not getting any of that. I've reached too many complaints.
This thing needs to go federal. It does.
It really does. We got people working on it, though, and hopefully we can start getting some results. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, people start to lose faith after a while, and I've always been taught to keep the faith and to keep moving forward and never go backwards and never give up. You know, and I still haven't given up. It's been going on years now, and I don't plan on giving up. You know, we're still planning on doing that.
I think even if, whether I get my mother or not, I'm not going to give up. If I get her, I'm going to keep on going. And if I don't get her, I'm going to keep on going. Because I'm not going to give up.
No one.
And that's it. God doesn't want us to give up. He picked his warriors. He wants to be a voice. You know, did you see that I sent you on Messenger about the girl? The girl in Missouri was with Diane Sawyer.
Yes.
And the girl said, pray out loud. Well, I got a message. We need to pray out loud. We need to pray loud. Because when I say that, I send that to everybody. I'm praying out loud for this guardianship, for my mother to be free from this horrible guardianship. She's able to at least let her come over, but not to even let her come once. With court orders? Unbelievable.
Right.
I'm crying out loud. That's why I'm putting it all over the place. We need to pray out loud. We need to put this in God's hands and put it in prayer and let everybody know.
Right, exactly.
That's what we have to do. And to get rid of the bad judges, dictators.
Yeah,
judge that I had, he was horrible. That first judge that I had in the Broward court. One day, I pay him what he's put many people through. I hope one day God, since, you know, people like that should not be sitting in a bench. Horrible.
Right.
So who judges?
Right.
Who's gonna judge him?
And I got messages from Dr. Sugar, and he's talking about some kind of a AAPG case report, guardianship, probate, court, civil rights violations.
I'm doing it,
I'm going to be checking that out, and I'll be getting on the radio next week, and I'll be explaining to everybody what that is about as soon as I get some more information on that also. But I guess we're going to go ahead and sign off a little bit early here. Or end up about the 8 o'clock hour. We'll stay on for a few more minutes. But next week we'll be coming back on Wednesday night again, and we'll be talking with Michael Volpe, and he's a journalist from Chicago, and he's was talking to us about how a lot of journalists, they talk about certain issues that are really going to be big news. You know, he says they don't listen to one person's stories or two people's stories. They listen to quite a few stories, and they like stories on veterans, But it's really, I think it would be a really hard job to be a journalist, because you don't know what's going to go big and what's not. But I'm hoping that, this probate court stuff stops. I mean, there's nothing as bad as you being victimized and you see all your property being sold and then you being evicted out into the street and you become homeless. And these parents want their kids to have their homes and their stuff that they worked for their whole entire life. But we are all being cheated out of that. We are not becoming the heirs. The court officials are becoming the heirs. They have our parents. They steal everything, and it makes me really angry that this is still going on. And I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. But we have a lot of advocates talking about it more than we've ever had before. So, the only thing we can do is pray about it and just keep working it, right, Marcy?
Yeah, we got to pray out loud. It worked. That was encouraging. Pray out loud. Look at the angel. They think it's an angel. It came he looked like a priest. And then he left. He disappeared.
On Facebook.
And when they turned around, they didn't know where he went. And then when they developed the pictures, the guy didn't know he showed.
Yeah, that was on Messenger. It was quite amazing that and a man appeared in a black outfit, and no one could ever find him again. And that was definitely some angels there. That definitely was an angel. I know it was,
It was. It's proven there were 12 people, 12 rescuers. And
right.
then and
they
said
right.
in the heart to tell the girl that they just couldn't take her out. And she said, pray, pray, pray out loud. And
right.
all of a sudden, this man comes, and he's dressed in a black shirt, and he had a bottle with him in his hand with some oil.
Right.
And first they didn't know whether they should let him approach her, because they didn't want her thinking that they called a priest to give her her last rites. But
right.
she said yes, and they went ahead and led him. And she said that they said that when he started approaching the girl, all of a sudden there was a sense of peace. And then he came with the oil, and he anointed her and prayed with her on the
right.
forehead. And all of a sudden they said it was so peaceful. And he turned the man turned around and said, You're going to be able to get her out.
Right.
And she's going to be fine. And so right after he said that, there was a rescue came with stronger, what do you call it? With stronger, oh, my mind went back.
Yeah, I think he came with anointing oil. But
yeah,
it was a mystery helper at a highway crash, and it was amazing. I could not believe this story. I'm going to try to put it out on Facebook, and whoever wants
yeah.
it, I'll send it to you. It's an amazing
yeah.
story.
So
you know, the
so
biggest
they,
thing
they,
is every time, Marcy, every time we talk about anything, it's so weird, every time we talk about anything to do with God or anything, my printer, every time during one of these shows, it'll start cleaning itself out of midair. That's the fourth time we have talked about
it.
My printer next to it will just start cleaning itself. That's so strange because I don't. This is really strange, but this happened to me four times in a row, and all of a sudden my computer just takes off, and I don't have, you know, it's so weird. That's all I can say. But
that's weird. Well, anything's possible. Oh yeah. So when the man said that you're gonna be able to take her out, you're gonna have stronger tools. And all of
right.
a sudden, a truck came with stronger tools, and they were
right.
able to take out. And then
right.
when they turned around, the guy was gone. And then when they
right.
tried to when they developed the, when they went to see the pictures. No one had he disappeared. He was invisible.
Right.
So that, and you know who sent me that today? One of the commissioners sent me that today. She said, pray out loud. And I go, I'm praying out loud. And I send it to you and send it to everybody else. It gave me encouragement.
Yep. I've been sending it to quite a few people just so they can look at it, and you know.
Yeah, you should. God, you know, God is stronger than evil. He is.
Right. Right.
God always prevails. We may
God
not
always.
Today. We pray. Today I pray. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was having a horrible time, and I got some answers today. And tomorrow,
right.
that's it. God is in total
right.
control.
Right.
He is in total control. So.
Yeah, I agree. And what's going to go on with our military and all that, but we just got to pray about things. We just got to, you know, keep our chins up and, you know, just pray hard and hope something changes. I really do. We've been all working at this a long time, and hopefully something. A little bit of good news. I did get one of the ladies, she is a senator out here that's going to help us run one of the bills that we did last year. She's going to help us take another bill. And I've got three more senators that called me or are in touch with me about running some probate bills.
That's great. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
senators?
Yeah, Yeah, I've got three. Mm-hmm. I know four or five senators right now that are going to be running maybe some bills with me. So I know a lot of them. I've been talking about this stuff for four years now, you know.
Oh, well, you see, that's God's hands, okay?
Right, right.
That is God's hands.
Right. But we'll see what happens with all that, you know. But I guess we'll go ahead and sign off for the night. I've got an appointment on my house coming tomorrow, and I'm praying on all that, all the different issues. I pray for all the words, you know. Mm. So anyway, we'll see everybody next Wednesday night. We'll be back here again next Wednesday night on Faces with Robin and Lulu and Marcy. And we'll be back. We're going to interview Mark.
Yeah.
Mark. Again, he was quite interesting last week. He's going to come back in and talk again about next week. And then guess who we're having on? After that, we're having Cash Jackson coming on. That's going to be a really good show, too. I can't wait for that. He's a big activist. I think he's in the Marines, and he came out, and I guess his wife was having issues with him and his daughter, and I think they got divorced, and he has all kinds of back pay and all kinds of stuff. They tried putting him in jail, but he's become so big now, and he's got so many friends, and so many people are following him, and he's running for governor, too, so we're going to be hearing from him. Yeah, he's going to be running for governor up in, I think, in Illinois, so we're going to put some good shouts out for him, and well, maybe he'll get voted in. This would be great. You know, but we need some of our own people.
Great.
Yeah, we need some of our own people
be
voted in. Right.
The more people you help in the Senate that knows about the guardianship abuse, the closer we're going to be to victory.
Right.
Okay?
Victory.
It's
right.
Just, and that's what we need to do. Make them aware, continue to create awareness and advocate in order for people to get educated. That's all.
Right. Educated. Educate, advocate.
Educated.
That's all we
What's
can
that?
Do. Educate, legislate, activate. Advocate.
Right.
I can't even talk.
Advocate, legislate, and educate. And,
there
and
you
just,
go.
And you got enough people, you know. I mean, some of those posts that I put, I have a bunch of people. I'm even getting contacted by old friends that I haven't heard from a long time from my childhood. And they go, oh, my God, how can this be happening to your mother? You worked all those years in the store when they were all, you know, going to the lake and having fun. I was helping my parents out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was one of the first ones to have, in my senior class, I was the first one to have a brand new car in my senior years because I worked and helped them build a business. So that was their way of paying me back. You know, my parents were always so good to me. It's like unbelievable. And you too. But that's what parents are supposed to do.
I know. And, you know, my parents, they worked for 50 years on that land. You know, my grandfather bought that land for our family. And this was a 5-acre of land. This was like acres of land. And we had cars all over. We had fields. It was an amazing piece of land. And it's gone, you know. And it just pisses me off so much that they just violated all of our rights. They went in and just took the money for themselves. These people need to be in prison. They really do. They need to be in prison. They need to have their own property taken. You know, it's just crap. Okay,
well,
I'm just going to say
what goes around comes around. You know,
right? Around goes around. It's true. I've seen it happen. So we'll just pray about it.
And it's happening.
Yeah.
It's happening to some states. There are some judges going to jail. There's some attorneys going to jail. You know, abuse is just not acceptable. It's not.
Right.
No one wants that to happen to them, and especially in the United States of America. This is,
something's going on with our America though, and something's coming down with it. I don't know. I don't feel good about all the talks about war and that either. It's not going to solve anything.
Mhm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say, go ahead and say goodnight. Robin's already left the studio, but I guess he went up to go watch some football, maybe. I don't know. But I guess we're going to go ahead and say, okay. Well, good night, everybody. And this was the judges with Catherine Hine. And hopefully we can get her back here next week. We'll find out what technical difficulties they are. But I guess we're going to say good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night, Marcy. Good night. Loud.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.